talk about in this Torah portion. And I just love the way the Spirit does everything. Brother Herman, when he talked about it tonight, it just continually leaves you in a wow. I don't know how to explain it. It's just wow. And when I read through this all week long, I just kept trying to focus in on, you know, the offering, the way it was being built, temple, and Solomon. And the Lord just brought me in a direction. I just, the way He does it, you know, and He reminded me of our behavior. He brought me back to the garden, and that's where our behavior was altered. And this whole thing about the kingdom and everything to do with it to get there is about our conduct and our behavior to get there. The perfect pattern, the way of life, was altered through disobedience. And God's mercy gives us another chance at it. And so when you read about the pattern and everything that was built, the wisdom, the knowledge, all that was great, and everything that was being done and said, and God was particular about everything because He's perfect. But He also told Solomon, and I'll read it again, that one little piece. It was in 1 Kings. He says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Solomon concerning this house that you are building. And he said this, 'If you walk in my statutes and obey my rules, obey my rules and keep all my commandments and walk in them, then I will establish my word with you, which I spoke to David your father, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel.'" So Solomon built the house and he finished it. And so we've been getting all this wisdom, getting all this knowledge. And how many know we tend to get off track sometimes? We got to keep ourselves in balance. You know, I got off balance in some places. Everybody gets off balance in some things. My conduct, my behavior. And I was reminded, the Lord brought me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. He says, "If I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all the faith as to move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. What good is any rule or order if it's not applied?" All this wisdom, knowledge, the house. He told Solomon, "You build the house, you do it all like this in this order, but you got to obey my rules and my statutes. It's for nothing. It's all for nothing without applying it and working on our behavior." That's what it's all about, is our behavior. In Jeremiah 33, 25 through 26, this caught my attention. Remember, we talk about patterns, a perfect pattern, a way of life that was altered. Remember, he says in Jeremiah 33, 25, 26, "With heaven and earth, He has a fixed order. He has a perfect pattern and a balance to everything. Without it, it doesn't work. It don't work. The earth and everything on it, the way it works, works perfectly because that's the way He put it in order." So our conduct and our behavior, when it went out of whack, that's what we got. We go to death. Everybody dies. Everybody goes to death. But we have an opportunity to go to life through Yeshua HaMashiach. We can have life. But we got to conduct our way that way. Why? Because it's His perfect love. It's not the world's love. That's the way it works. The other way doesn't work. Like Pastor said the other night, you have the Democrats, you have the Republicans, you have all these different, but it's not ever going to work. It's imperfect. It's not God's perfect, imperishable word. His word is imperishable. His way that we're supposed to follow is perfect. So without it, doesn't work. He said we need a perfect ruler to set order back for life and peace. And that order and life and peace is going to be set through Yeshua HaMashiach. Hebrews 8, 1 through 12. It says, "Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for the priest also to have something to offer. Now, if it were here on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, 'See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you. And like Brother Herman said, it was all thrown away when they went and disobeyed and did what they wasn't supposed to be doing. It doesn't work that way. And it won't ever work that way. All the religions, all the traditions, and altering His Word, it won't ever work. It'll constantly come to a dead end. It's altered. It comes back to death. But God's perfect work, perfect Word, will always come to the truth and life and peace. And that's what Yeshua HaMashiach is going to come do. He's going to come back, return, and fix it all the way it's supposed to be fixed. It says, see that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant He mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. For He finds fault with them when He says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds. What is the laws for? To be perfect, right? To get it right. And write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I'll be merciful toward their iniquities, and I'll remember their sins no more. And you know, Yeshua mentions our responsibility in a simple parable in Matthew. He showed me this one little bitty parable, and I'm going to read it. And He broke it down. I want to break it down. In Matthew 13:52, He said unto them, after all, He talked about all the parables on the kingdom. This is what the kingdom's like. This is the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. One can tell immediately that this parable is different from the others. It doesn't start with the kingdom of heaven is like. Obviously, it does deal with the kingdom of heaven because it says so within the context. Also, it is aimed directly at the disciples. Yeshua says to them, because you said you understand this, right? Here is my instruction. We could say it is aimed specifically at the ministry. Scribes instructed in the kingdom of God. The word in Ezra gives us an example of a scribe. A scribe had an important position in the community. And it gives you the definition of a scribe. All you got to do is look it up. It's in Ezra. And you could see what a scribe does, what his duties were. It tells you everything in there. Among the Jews in the first century, the scribe had an important position in the community. Ezra was the prototypical scribe years before Jesus spoke this parable. In Ezra 7:6, it tells us that the specialty of a scribe was the law of God or the words of God, the Bible. His job was to know the Bible. A scribe spent his life studying the Bible and knowing just as much as he could about its content. So let's go look and read in Ezra 7:6-28. And we'll pick out all that it says about a scribe through the story of Ezra a little bit. This Ezra went up from Babylonia. He was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses, the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. And the king granted him all that he asked. For the hand of the Lord, his God, was on him. And there went up also to Jerusalem in the 7th year of Artaxerxes, the king, some of the people of Israel, and some of the priests and Levites, the singers and the gatekeepers and the temple servants. And Ezra came to Jerusalem in the 5th month, which was in the 7th year of the king. For on the first day of the 1st month he began to go up from Babylonia, and on the first day of the 5th month he came to Jerusalem. For the good hand of his God was on him, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach his statutes and the rules in Israel. This is a copy of the letter that King Xerxes gave to Ezra the priest, the scribe, a man learned in matters of the commandments of the Lord and his statutes for Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, to priests of Levites in my kingdom, who freely offers to go to Jerusalem, may go with you. For you are sent by the king and his seven counselors to make inquiries about Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of your God, which is in your hand, and also to carry the silver and gold that the king and his counselors have freely offered to God, the God of Israel, whose dwelling is in Jerusalem, with all the silver and the gold that you shall find in the whole province of Babylonia, and with the freewill offerings of the people and the priests, vow willingly for the house of their God that is in Jerusalem. With this money, then, you shall, with all diligence, buy bulls, rams, and lambs, with their grain offerings, with their drink offerings, and you shall offer them on the altar of the house of your God that is in Jerusalem. Whatever seems good to you and your brothers to do with the rest of the silver and gold, you may do according to the will of your God. The vessels that have been given you for the service of the house of your God, you shall deliver before the God of Jerusalem. And whatever else is required of the house of your God, which falls to you, you provide, you may provide it out of the king's treasury. And I, Artaxerxes, the king, make a decree to all the treasurers in the province beyond the river. Whatever Ezra, the priest, the scribe of the law of God of heaven requires of you, let it be done with all diligence. Up to 100 talents of silver, 100 of wheat, 100 bats of wine, 100 bats of oil, and salt without prescribing how much. Whatever is decreed by the God of heaven, let it be done in full for the house of God of heaven, lest his wrath be against the realm of the king and his sons. And we also notify you that you shall not be lawful to impose tribute, custom, or toll on any one of the priests, the Levites, the singers, the doorkeepers, the temple servants, or other servants of the house of God. And you, Ezra, according to the wisdom of your God that is in your hand, appoint magistrates and judges who may judge all the people in the province beyond the river, all such as know the laws of your God, and those who do not know them you shall teach. Whoever will not obey the law of your God and the law of the king, let judgment be strictly executed on him, rather for death or for banishment or for confiscation of his goods or for imprisonment. Blessed be the Lord, the God of our fathers, who put such a thing as this into the heart of the king to beautify the house of the Lord that is in Jerusalem, and who extended to me his steadfast love before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty officers. I took courage, for the hand of the Lord my God was on me, and I gathered leading men from Israel to go up with me. So when you read that, you see what a scribe did. He was taught, he was learned in it, and he was prescribed for the king to go and do that. And there was order set. And if you didn't abide by them, like when you went way back in the beginning of the Torah again, whoever didn't abide by those rules, you know what happened. Property got confiscated. It was either death, banishment, or imprisonment. So all the rules stood towards the God of Ezra. He was the scribe. We're reading one little, about six little verses in Nehemiah chapter 8. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning till midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Matthias, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah on his right hand. And these other guys' names all the way up to his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen. Lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Scribes clearly explained in the Bible, stood before the people and expounded and explained it until they understood. Ministers fill the same function today. Yeshua sent his disciples out to preach the kingdom of God. In Matthew 10, verses 7 and 28, 19 through 20, it is the church's commission, he says to the apostles, teach everything that I command you to the people. So instructed is a very interesting Greek word. It is the verb form of the noun that means disciple. So Yeshua really means every scribe discipled concerning the kingdom. So we're talking about the kingdom, right? This depicts the scribe, the minister, as a student. He has been taught, but the word contains the idea that he's continuing to learn. Not only is he a teacher, but he is simultaneously a student. The preacher is under judgment too. He must continue learning so he can continue to teach. Doesn't that line up with, I know everything, I got it all down packed, I'm done. Tells me that he's ever learning as he's ever teaching, correct? The parable gives us a third description of this person. He is called a householder, the ruler, or the master of a house. And this all comes from this one little parable right here. It implies a great deal of authority as well as responsibility over his house. The buck stops with the householder, with the master of the house. Yeshua says a scribe, a minister, is like a householder, meaning that the minister of God has been charged with being an authoritative interpreter of Scripture. The more independent Christian probably does not think that a minister has much authority. But this parable bestows upon a minister a great deal of authority in expounding God's word and remembering what a scribe's responsibilities were, right? So a minister is a teacher, a student, and a leader. One who has authority, but one who also has at the same time, has a great deal of responsibility. His responsibility, remember, the householder, Christ says, brings out of his treasure things new and things old. Treasure may remind one of the same word in Matthew 13:44. Matthew 13:44 says, is like a treasure hidden in a field. The word in Matthew 13:52 does not mean the treasure hidden in a field, as in precious metals, jewels, and gems, but treasure house, treasury, storehouse, or storeroom, where one would store valuables. It is clear in the Greek that it means a place and not the actual treasure itself. In this place, one would store what is necessary, like food, clothing, for the house's provision. One would have a certain storeroom for grain, fruits, vegetables, and meal. One may have another room or closet to store valuables, the family papers, jewels, silver, or art. All the good things that a person would want to put away for safekeeping would be put into the treasury, storeroom, or storehouse. In the context, then the minister is to use what he has learned and experienced in his life for the good of his house. He is to bring out all the things that he stored up to the present to the people. A minister's treasure is mainly in his head, what he has witnessed and come to understand as he has lived and studied God's way. That's why it is so important to protect our minds, right? We have to protect our minds. In our storehouse, we should have Isaiah 59:17. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. Brother Josh, when he spoke on that on Sunday, the Lord brought that to my remembrance. I was like, yeah, that was back in Isaiah. I didn't know it was in Isaiah till you read it. So every person that's been saying things, I've been picking up on things. We all can pick up on everything. And we go home, remember it. It's in our head. It's right there. We've got to protect it and shield it. We continue to work on it, and the Spirit brings it back to our remembrance, what he said. And also, and it goes back to Ephesians 6:17. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus instructs the scribe, minister, to bring out old and new. This becomes more understandable if we think of old and new in terms of food stuff. The master of a house in charge of ensuring that is has a storeroom that is full with the necessary food for his family. A wise householder would balance serving his oldest store with the fresh produce so that the old or new is not wasted. If he served only new, the old would go moldy, and be ruined. It would have to be thrown out and wasted. But if he served only the old, then the fresh and the new would also be wasted. The family would not receive the benefit of the flavor and nutrition that is in the new fresh produce. So the wise householder serves his family old store as well as fresh off the farm food. And he mixes them in a balance so that none of it is wasted. This is exactly what Jesus did in the parables. He had taken the truths of what the kingdom of God is in parables so that the people would understand that he had come as a savior and have a hint about how events would transpire and the establishment of his kingdom. Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 through 46. It is required of us to take care of our household at home. Our household should reflect that of his kingdom, right? Our household, that's where it starts, not here, at our house. A man should take care of his household well, and it should be based upon the conduct of what we taught through the Word of God, right? So just like old and new, the Word, we remember those things, bring it to our remembrance, and conduct ourselves according to the Word of God. And you know, the Lord reminded me of how important it is for us to obey and listen to the ones who are above us, like our pastors, teachers, the ones that the Lord sets above us, and Yeshua HaMashiach. Because it says in Psalms 141:5, let a righteous man strike me, it is a kindness. Let him rebuke me, it is all for my head. Let my head not refuse it, right? We need correcting. We need help. Proverbs 21, 1 through 22 was some scriptures that I looked up this week, how to conduct ourselves. I mean, you know, it's a lot of stuff to read. We've been through a lot already tonight. We've listened to in the Torah portion. I don't have time to go into it. But when you go back and you just play all of Proverbs, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and he says in there, he says, when you get a hold of this, you'll understand what my righteousness is for. And you start understanding what his righteousness is for. It's for our life. It's for our conduct. It's for our benefit. Because he loves us. And he wants to be with us. And so, anyways, you can go back and read all the Proverbs. This is something that I've been doing here lately, just going over and over Proverbs. But that's what I got out of the Torah portion. If anybody has anything else. Okay. All right. Don't forget, tomorrow morning we have staff meeting at 9, right? And be ready to worship the Lord again. I just love Saturday. It's incredible.